Don't go switching things up on me last minute.
You don't want to do the intro?
I can.
Well, no, I just have to say, hey, everybody.
You can say whatever you want to say. I'll count you down. 3, 2.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ride Home Podcast. My name is Caitlin.
And my name is Abby.
We're switching it up.
I literally thought for a split second that you were going to say my name is Abby.
I almost did. Actually, I almost did because it's like it. The format is always you go first, yeah. But we're switching it up a little bit.
Switching it up.
Because we are going to be talking about a very exciting movie that I have been looking forward to mm-hmm. for a very long time. Inside Out 2. The reason I have been so excited mm-hmm. for Inside Out 2 is because I absolutely adored Inside Out, mm-hmm. the first one. I know you did too.
Well, like hashtag psychology for you.
Yeah.
It's very up your alley feelings and...
Yeah, and I think even more so than it being related to psychology, obviously... You know, for those of you who don't know, I'm a middle school guidance counselor, so I am big into feels, but also just me as a person mm-hmm. am an extremely expressive, emotional, empathic person. And
in the words of your mother, a sloppy lover.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. I absolutely despise that she calls us that. My mom has coined this new term basically for like people who show emotions as being sloppy lovers.
And it's hilarious and I love it. So I'm going to use the phrase sloppy lover too.
Okay. So, yeah, that's that. So being a person with a lot of feelings myself and also a person who works in the mental health profession, I loved Inside Out, mm-hmm. the first one. I thought it was so charming and precious and wonderful. And
imaginative.
So imaginative. And I thought it did such a good job of not only depicting what emotions are and how they work, but just how it plays out in the life of a kid. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just such a beautiful story and beautiful imagery. So
yeah.
I've been really, really looking forward to Inside Out 2.
And apparently, like, the entire world was looking forward to Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
Because the theater that we went to is our standard theater.
Like, just a regular Regal.
We go to it every week. And every week, we maybe stand behind, like, two people in line mm-hmm. at the concessions. There were three lines and two sides, so six full lines, mm-hmm. probably 12 people deep on each side
at least.
It felt like a Harry Potter or yes. a Marvel movie, like opening night. And I know Bad Boys 2 also came out, and mm-hmm. so there was like definitely people who were going to see that. Like, you could tell there were like adult groups that were
sure.
more likely going to see Bad Boys 2. But I felt like the majority of the people that were in that room were children and families.
It
so
felt...
we could assume that a lot of them were there to see Inside Out 2.
Yes.
And what we're seeing also just from early reports from the box office is like, this is making a lot of money right
yeah.
now. It's the largest worldwide release for an animated movie ever, which is crazy to
Jeez.
Think about because like it's past like Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and, you know, some other Pixar movies that like I know Incredibles 2 had a really big opening as well.
So right.
I feel yeah. like there's a group of people where like Incredibles is like there. It's almost like the same group as the Hercules
okay,
people.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And I feel like it's young millennials. They yeah. hit both of those movies at like the perfect times mm-hmm. in their childhood. That like they clung on to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like middle to older millennials, it's like a different, like we were more like Beauty and the Beast, yeah. Lion King, Aladdin.
The older ones because we're old.
Yeah. yeah. And then our Pixar movies that we grew up with are like Toy Story and Monsters
sure.
Inc. that we, you know, look back at.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a group of kids who are obsessed, well, not kids, they're adults now, mm-hmm. who are obsessed with Incredibles.
Okay.
So it's not surprising to me at all that Incredibles 2 had a large gathering. I'm a little bit surprised by how many people are coming out for Inside Out 2. And my main thing with that is, honestly, streaming. Because mm-hmm. now that Disney Plus is out there, and mm-hmm. I think like most families who have kids have Disney Plus, mm-hmm. I feel like there is like a really good option of saying like, oh, we'll just wait until it comes out on streaming,
uh-huh.
especially for a sequel. So I was a little bit surprised by that. But the more I thought about it, I realized this movie did come out 10 years ago. So people who were children, mm-hmm. like below 10 when this came out, are now teenagers or young adults.
Sure.
And so I feel like the content of Inside Out 2, which now follows a teenage Riley, it like the movie grew up with this group. And so we have, you know, young kids who are now seeing it, plus this group that is all going to see it, plus adults like us who are going to see it. So it's almost like they like covered all their bases in terms of like who to market this to.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I guess I just never really realized that it was that popular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved it, but I never really picked up on the fact that there was like this like cult following. I mean, there was like even kids at our theater dressed up for it. Like there was a little girl wearing like a tutu with like a feeling shirt, and like mm-hmm. kids were like dressed up. I've seen people on TikTok, like adults going to the theater dressed up as like the Feelings characters. I'm like, okay, I had no clue.
I really like, we picked a later movie time than we would typically go to.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning was, we were like, oh, well, like most of the kids will be like in bed by then.
Mm-hmm.
No. No one was in bed. No one was sleeping in Charleston.
We forgot. Yeah, we forgot that it's summer and no one apparently has a bedtime in summer.
Nope. Yeah.
So literally all of Charleston was mm-hmm. at our movie theater. And I was just really shocked. I was also, I guess, I can't say surprised, but kind of. There were a lot of teenagers mm-hmm. too.
But that's my point is that like these are the kids that if they saw this movie when they were five, they're mm-hmm. 15 now.
Yeah. So it's like it's tracking them.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I love it. Now, we do know, obviously, this is a sequel, but this was a little bit of a different sequel because there were some cast and crew changes.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting.
Especially for, like, I feel like most, like, animated things, like, the voice actors just, like, come back. It.
Yeah.
So do you want to give us just a rundown of the new cast list and then also the Google synopsis?
Of course. All right. So Inside Out 2, I'll start with the changes first. So mm-hmm. this one was directed by Kelsey Mann, who also directed The Good Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. And it was a different director than the first one.
And for the cast changes, we have Tony Hale coming in for Fear mm-hmm. instead of Bill Hader. We have Liza Lapira replacing Mindy Kaling as discussed. And then we have some new faces mm-hmm. for the new emotions. We have Maya Hawke playing Anxiety and Io Adeburi playing Envy.
Which, like, what a two-hitter coming in to join the cast. I genuinely love both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so even just seeing that they were like a part of it on like little like featurette reels where it was mm-hmm. like showing them doing voice acting, I got so excited.
Me too.
I love both of them.
Me too. I think they were good choices. All right. So the Google synopsis: joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust have been running a successful operation by all accounts. However, when anxiety shows up, they aren't sure how to feel.
I don't think anyone is.
No one is ever sure how to feel when anxiety shows up.
No one is ever sure how to feel. So yeah, obviously, again, this is a sequel. And so there are going to be some natural like comparisons to mm-hmm. the first movie, which we can definitely get into. I'm not going to say that we can't compare the two.
Sure.
We're going to do that naturally. Mm-hmm. But just, I want to get your like fresh off the cuff, like just quick, what did you think of Inside Out 2? Because I know it didn't take place in a school, but like it was your exact age group that you work with mm-hmm. and a lot of the same like feelings and issues and emotions. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, in the movie, I wonder what Caitlin is thinking right now. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts and feelings on Inside Out 2?
So as I mentioned before, I'm coming at this from two perspectives, both a middle school counselor and a woman who was a teenage girl at one point. So I think it's a unique perspective, and I think it did an amazing job of depicting the absolute roller coaster of a teenager's mind.
Yeah.
Because they genuinely, like, working, so I work with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Yep.
And from Monday to Tuesday, one kid can be 10 different people.
Yeah.
And it can also change from, like, the start of the day to the end of the day. You could get a different version of that person. So I think the depiction of all of these new feelings coming in and how overwhelming that was for Riley's brain and, like, all the emotions trying to figure themselves out together, that was really cool and really well done. And then as a woman who was a 14-year-old girl once, I thought it was very relatable. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really spot on. And I think you shared this with me, that they actually consulted with teenagers to like make it more realistic, which you can kind of tell, like, some teenager was involved in this, because it felt very genuine and authentic to a teenage, especially a teenage girl's experience.
Yeah.
If I can... That's my first initial thoughts. But if I can say my other thought as far as comparing it to the first one, the only thing I want to say about it right now is that I felt like the consistency from first to second, especially with a 10-year gap, I thought the consistency was really well done.
Yeah.
Especially with a new director, new cast. Like, I felt like we didn't lose a lot of the feeling of what we had in the first one.
Right into the first, the
I felt
one.
Like it picked right back up with Riley's life. It helped, I think, that her parents were voiced by the same actors as before, so it was a lot of continuity and cohesion that just stuck. And I feel like it made for a very good sequel where it could have not.
Clearly the director of this one is like loved the first one, because sometimes you can get a sense from a sequel that the director's like, I want to do something different.
Yeah.
Like, a director change and a sequel, you can get a very different tone, different style, and this was consistent. I completely agree with you.
Which I appreciated that, because I think because of apparently how many people loved the first one, I think people would have been really disappointed if we were given something totally different, even tonally or anything different than the first one. And it felt like it literally just was like no time had passed. Which, I mean, hats off to the director. From just looking at him, he hasn't done a whole lot. So he must have been putting the last 10 years into just researching the hell out of Inside Out.
Yeah.
And making sure that the sequel came out okay.
Yeah. I do think that although there was consistency for sure, I did get a little bit of a sense that the themes of this movie, while growing with Riley, might be a little out of reach for someone who is younger.
Okay.
When you're in a Pixar movie or like a children's movie of any kind, you can kind of tell what they put in, like, specifically for little kids. And there was only really one joke that kept replaying that, like, little kids thought was funny. And it was embarrassment's butt crack showing. And literally, like, that was the only time you heard the little kids laugh.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that there was a little boy, like, all the way at the front of our audience that he could not stay in his seat. Like, he was just running around. And I feel like that would be my only critique, is that the first one, anyone could watch it and relate to it, young, old, like, you know, whatever. This movie felt like if you're not at least 7 or 8, it's just going to go whoop, like right past you.
And I, you know, it's funny because I noticed that too. And you also, what I always pick up on in like Disney and Pixar movies too, is like the things that are specifically jokes for adults.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot more of that in this than there was in the first one. So I definitely agree with you. I think it's not really a little kid's movie.
It's not at all.
The first one was deep and it had its little moments, but I think overall was pretty like superficial mm-hmm. with the stuff. And so I think this one definitely got a little...
There's a lot going on in this
movie. There's a lot to unpack.
And can I be the one to like break the bubble here?
Yeah, let's do it.
I fucking love this movie.
Okay.
Like love this movie.
Okay.
I would put it easily in my top five Pixar movies of all time.
Wow.
Okay. And I actually am going to say that I like it better than the first one.
Okay.
Because I think it just took what the first one built and just expanded on it mm-hmm. and made it this wildly relatable. Mm-hmm. Because like in the first one, not everyone has moved across the country.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And so in the first one, her whole like what's going on with Riley's mind is like, you know, fitting into a new city, a new location, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. And so that's not like 100% relatable. But like sure. this whole her trying to figure out like, do I hang out with my new friends or my old mm-hmm. friends? And, you know, being competitive about something, even if you didn't play hockey, like sure. everyone's been in like dance or choir or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that I felt like this movie was like way, way more like broadly relatable. Mm-hmm. And then also on top of that, I thought it did just an absolutely spectacular job of explaining and kind of like almost giving the audience like a sense of empathy and understanding for like what the fuck is going on in a teenager's brain. Mm-hmm. Because like people really sometimes just reduce and reduce and reduce teenagers to just like, you're a bucket of hormones mm-hmm. and you're going to figure it out eventually. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they like brush them off as like, you're a little shit right now, but like mm-hmm. you'll get better and we just like won't worry about you right now. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when you're watching that movie and you're seeing like all of these things that Riley's experiencing, you remember what it was like to be a teenager mm-hmm. and to face situations like that. And it's like, wow, we need to like give them a little grace and like cut them some slack because you know, like shit sucks.
Yes. And like, I already feel like that because I work with teenagers so closely. But do you know how many people, when I tell people what I do?
Yeah.
When I tell people I'm a middle school counselor, they literally are like, I could never do that.
Yeah.
Even people that I work with.
Yeah.
Like teachers at my school are like, I could literally never do your job. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Like, I love it because I think that's kind of what makes counseling teenagers fun for me mm-hmm. is that one day they're like, they are struggling with anxiety mm-hmm. and then the next day they're struggling with envy and the next day they're struggling with embarrassment or anger or yeah. sadness or fear. Like, all of those things cycle through and it's kind of like, well, which version of Sammy am I getting today?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you don't know. And so, like, when they walk in, I have to kind of, like, read their energy to, mm-hmm. like, meet them where they are because, and I tell my students literally all of the time, like, hey, like, this is probably going to be the worst part of your life.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just being real with you because like what's happening in your brain right yeah. now is like more than anyone can actually handle. And I promise you that like it's just going to get better mm-hmm. and better because middle school and high school, like in this movie, Riley's an eighth grader graduating and going to high yeah. school. What a pivotal time in yeah. your life. And while that's happening, your brain is actively like making the biggest growth.
It's like rioting on you. Yeah.
In its history.
Yeah.
Like, why? These poor kids, man.
Yeah. And I also think that for me in particular, I know I told you this, like, as we were leaving, Riley kind of looks like me. Like, uh-huh. she, as a little kid, I was much scrawnier than I am today. Mm-hmm. I was very scrappy, very messy. I had blonde hair, bangs, blue eyes. I mm-hmm. had braces. And so, like, looking at Riley, especially because she's a jock and she's, like, mm-hmm. you know, a tomboy and all that, I see so much of myself in her. And also, mm-hmm. she is a very, like, outgoing, kind of spunky kid. And mm-hmm. she wants just, like, acceptance and friendship. And, mm-hmm. like, I was the exact same way. And I think, like, watching her struggle with things as simple as, like, what do I say in this moment that makes me look cool but not too cool, what makes mm-hmm. me, you know, seem like I am somebody that you want to get to know but like maybe not trying so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like related to a lot of that, and watching a character that reminded me so much of myself, like as a little kid, mm-hmm. I was just like, wow, man, like
yeah.
And I think on top of all of that, Riley has in the last, which, you know, we didn't say spoiler or no spoiler, but I think we're just going to go with spoilers. Yeah. So if you worry about spoilers, pause here and mm-hmm. we'll pick up the conversation after you see it. But in this one, the climax of this movie is Riley experiencing a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, yeah. That was one of the most spot on perfect explanation and description of it, with this amazing imaginative way of representing it in her mind world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with having this flood of like yes. every negative memory you've ever had about yourself yes. happening all at once.
Yes.
And then watching like the physical representation of it with Riley, when I tell you I cried like a little bitch,
mm-hmm.
I cried like a little bitch.
Yeah.
And I know I've said this before, I am not a crier during movies. I am not like, it takes a lot to get me to
really
cry.
In general, you're not a crier.
Right.
I'm the crier.
This movie, I cried two times during it. The whole final scene, I was just sobbing.
Uh-huh.
And the other was when Joy was like, I don't know what to do with anxiety. I guess you just feel less joy as you grow up.
She and said, this is what happens
yeah.
when you grow up. You have less joy.
And I was
I think we both were like,
I literally sat, like, I like pushed my whole body against the back of my seat and my eyes just like welled up. And mm-hmm. I was like,
mm-hmm.
And so for me, this movie just like it slapped me across the feels. Like
yeah.
I felt so connected to this movie from start to finish,
mm-hmm.
which I have seen criticisms where people have said that they enjoyed the first one because the second one didn't feel as creative and as like visually stimulating as the first one. Mm-hmm. First of all, I completely disagree.
I was gonna say, no.
Just the introduction of the belief system alone.
Okay, thank you.
Which was fucking gorgeous.
Okay, we need to talk about
the belief system.
Okay, put a pin in it.
But just the addition of the belief system alone, on top of all of the other things that they added to it,
yeah,
to represent all like the stream
the new feelings,
when we saw the stream of consciousness, the
sarcasm,
mm-hmm. like all those little bits and pieces that they added, I thought were so imaginative.
Yeah.
And like when they were in imagination land, mm-hmm. and anxiety is using her imagination against herself
yeah.
in order to get these projections of what might go wrong, I was mm-hmm. like, holy shit, that is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so incredibly brilliant.
When they went into the vault of her mind
yeah.
and there were like her deepest, darkest secrets and like the things, like she still likes that kid show,
mm-hmm.
like that shit was also genius, because that is part of becoming a teenager
yeah.
is like, ugh, like it's time for me to like not be a fan of like the things I used to like when I was a little kid. I have to pretend I don't like to play with Barbies anymore, and
mm-hmm.
I have to pretend I don't like little kid shit, but like I kind of still do like
yeah.
little kid shit. Like all of that nuance of being a teenager, like bullshit, this wasn't as
yeah.
creative. Like this was, in my opinion, more creative than the first one.
Yeah. And like, I really don't want to put the first one down. I'm
no.
just gonna say that like if the first one is like a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just give it a 98%, like this one for me is like a 99%. Like it's
mm-hmm.
like just that little extra like kick that it gave, where
mm-hmm.
it was like expanding on all of these things and to an extent and to a point that was just like making it even better.
Dude, Inside Out walked so Inside Out 2 could run.
Yes. I think I would consider this one of my favorite animated movies of all time. And I think
okay.
that is Pixar or not.
Wow.
Which there are some other Pixar movies that I would put in my favorite animated movies of all time. Maybe we'll do a Pixar list at some point.
Oh, Pixar list.
Pixar list. But I don't know. I just, the more I think about this movie and hearing you talk about it and the more things I remember and just the originality and the imagination and also just a really beautiful, well-written script also. Extremely well-paced. Visually just an absolute punch in the eyeballs, like holy shit. So I just, like, I cannot say enough good things about this movie, and I'm so excited that it is having like the box office you know, success that it is having, because I think it 1,000% deserves it, and I want as many people as humanly possible to see this movie, because I really loved it. But I know we did put a pin in the belief system.
Yes.
And so I want to go back to that because I agree with you that that is something that we needed to talk about further. That was one of the coolest expressions of what goes on in somebody's mind and psyche that I've ever seen. Like, it was maybe that, like, I don't even know if anyone's ever tried to explain that before. Sure. Like, it blew my mind. Like, yes. it was teaching me something about myself.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's what I loved so much about this, because, like, the first one was kind of like, all right, here's our main feelings and how they operate and how it makes us act.
Yeah.
What this did was, all right, so here's our main feelings. They're still here, but now we have a whole bunch more that are way more nuanced than the first ones. And our feelings and our life experiences form together are what's called a belief system in this movie, which also in real life is our belief system and how we determine who we are and how that makes us interact with other people. And it was so beautiful. I agree with you. Just the imagery and the design of this was so beautiful. Like, you had this little, like, dazzling, glowing, glittering little loop-de-loop thing.
Yeah.
And it connected below to this pool where all her memories and life experiences collected and formed, you know, each one formed a belief about herself.
Like,
what, dude?
Yeah.
This is not a kids movie, dude. Yeah. Like, this is so freaking meta. And, like, every, like, counselor who saw this movie this weekend is, like, thinking of ways to turn this into, like, exercises and activities with clients. We learned something about ourselves, even, like, not just as our teen version, but just, like, as a person.
Yeah.
And you start to think about, what is my belief system? Yeah. What is my main belief about myself? And originally, Riley's main belief, because her little feelings have been trying to protect her and have saved only the best memories. So her belief system is, I'm a good person. And then anxiety comes in and fucks everything up and only pretty much predominantly has anxious thoughts and memories and life experiences. And what that transforms her belief system is to, I'm not good enough. Which I feel like, I'm just going to speak for all of us as a whole.
You're proclamating to humankind right now.
Mostly just, like, millennials in America. I think all of us, that's one of our core beliefs.
Yeah.
Or worries, if it's not, like, if we don't believe it, it's at least been a worry in the back of our mind at some point for, like, a while.
Yeah.
And just, like, when they revealed what her new belief system was, and it literally just is her voice going, I'm not good enough.
I know.
I was a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was an absolute wreck.
And the way they played the, like, chord that goes to their belief system as almost a string that would play back the audio of that memory, and that would play her belief
from that. From, like, that. It's like the one of them was, my, like, my God. Parents are proud of me. Like, all of those. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. This movie freaking 8.
It was such a wonderful, and as two people who have experienced mental health issues, mm-hmm. I thought it was such a wonderful explanation of even just like mental health in general.
Yeah.
Like not even just kids, like adults have panic attacks too.
Yeah.
And guess what? They look exactly the same.
Yep.
And they feel exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just so many subtle aspects to this movie too that I felt made this more grown up than the first. Mm-hmm. Like there are these moments that were almost more, I guess the word is like theatrical.
Sure.
Like it felt like I was watching like a live action movie.
Yeah.
Because a lot of animated movies don't have close-ups, I've noticed. Mm-hmm. Like it's world building. And so
sure.
they really want to have this like big, gorgeous, beautiful mm-hmm. worlds. And they did do that, obviously, in this movie to like a crazy extent. But the close-ups in this movie were gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And they really were intentional. And like the cinematography of the animation was gorgeous. And there was like this one shot that just stands out in my head. And like, it's not even in her mind. It's in the real world. Mm. And so to say that that's one of my favorite shots is crazy because
yeah.
her mind is such a like beautiful place.
Uh-huh.
But it was when she was having her panic attack and it was right as she was kind of like coming to
mm-hmm.
and she grounds herself with her hand.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, anybody who's had a panic attack has had that experience of
yeah.
like touching your surroundings
like
and being
yourself.
Like yeah and being like
yeah.
okay, like I'm here, like
mm-hmm.
I'm not dying, I'm not like I'm okay, like I'm here.
Yeah.
And there was that close-up of her hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow,
dude.
Pixar
dude, the more we talk about this movie, like I can't take it.
Yeah,
like I can't handle it. And here's the thing.
You're feeling overwhelmed.
Right? I am like feeling all of the feels. Here's the thing. If you're a human being,
yeah.
go fucking see this movie
yeah.
right now.
Oh
I don't
God,
care.
I'm like scared of you right now.
I don't care. There's no excuses. It can't wait until it's streaming.
You know how I always have a critique?
Yeah.
No notes.
No notes.
I loved every second of this
mm-hmm.
movie. Literally every second of this movie was funny, sweet, beautiful, gorgeous, creative,
mm-hmm.
intentional, intellectual.
Yes.
Every good thing that I could say about this movie, I could say about this movie. All that being said, if you're a little bit on the fence about going to see this,
don't be. Get off the fence.
Don't be. But also, you're just going to want to go just to experience ennui.
Yes.
Just
Dude.
To experience ennui, because she was the funniest fucking character.
What a great decision
especially,
to add ennui.
Oh my God. Especially,
Dude.
You know, teenagers right now.
Yes.
It's
them. It's literally them.
It
like,
was
y'all
so
are ennui.
Good. And the French accent.
Yes.
Everything about her character.
Because French people are so unbothered.
Yeah.
By everything. Like they literally, it's just, oh, that was so funny and so
mm-hmm.
cute. And I loved it. I really loved all of the voice acting in this movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. And it just, everyone fit who they were
mm-hmm.
so well. And yeah, ennui, dude. That was a great
ennui.
Addition.
So, Caitlin, what is your popcorn score? That was horrible.
It was like,
was that
honestly
was that
like
okay?
Not bad.
So, Caitlin, what is
not Caitlin. Not it's how you say, I feel like there's a Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Or something like
what
that.
What is your popcorn score?
Ennui. My popcorn score.
Dearest Ennui.
Dear Ennui.
Your popcorn rating score size, what is it?
Is a large.
Amen, sister.
It's not only is it a large, it's like what the popcorn is served out of. Like, it's
yeah.
the like thing that makes the popcorn.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Like, who needs therapy when you have Inside Out 2?
Well, thank you so much for joining us on that very emotive
yes.
episode from the two of us. We had
yeah.
a lot of feelings. I'm sorry.
It's what happens when
it
you
was,
see Inside Out 2.
Yeah, it was, at least we were like on brand, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll be taking a break this week
mm-hmm.
and coming back next week for a movie that both of us are also extremely
Super
excited about,
exciting.
Which is A Quiet Place Day One, mm-hmm. which we loved the first two. So we're both very excited to see that. So we'll be back with that review in a couple of weeks. Until then, I hope you enjoy the start of your summer.
And thanks for joining us on the ride home.